What people say when they're dying is memorable and very important. It's a great treasure. And there's no greater treasure for those of us who know the Lord than His last words on the cross. Now, those are not His last words. Thank the Lord for that, because He spoke after His death. But these words on the cross are very pungent with truth and with power. And I want to preach to you this morning on the cries from the cross. I preached on the cause of the cross and the cost of the cross. But I want to deal this morning with the sayings, some people say the seven sayings from the cross, but I'm going to emphasize a certain part of them. But to begin this morning, look in Luke chapter number 23. And I think what I want to do is just read a few of these and make comment, and then I'll pray. Look in Luke chapter 23, and as you're turning there, look at verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offered Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over Him, the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked Him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Now, I want to read a couple of others. They are recorded, some of the cries of our Lord from the cross. He said to the Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said to the thief on the cross, that today you'll be with me in paradise. And then He cried again to the Father and said to the Father, unto thee I commend my spirit. Now, look a little further. I want us to skip over to the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 19. In John 19 and verse 26. In John 19, look at verse number 26. And when Jesus therefore saw His mother, now, if you read the account, this is in the very beginning after He's on the cross, not very long after He's on the cross, I believe. And when Jesus therefore saw His mother, the disciples standing by whom He loved, He said unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. And He said unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own house. And that disciple, of course, was John. And the Lord, in that moment of His dying, had a concern for His mother and made provision for her, and they took care of Him. Drop down, please, if you would, to verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, He said, I thirst. Now there was yet a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it to His mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And he bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. I want to read again back in the book of Matthew what I read on last Sunday. In Matthew chapter number 27, if you'll go back there with me, please, and let's read this account once again. In Matthew chapter 27, look at verse number 46. And about the ninth hour, this darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And at the end of that ninth hour, Jesus says this, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then I want us to go a little bit further and emphasize once again another passage of Scripture. He said back in John chapter 19, turn back over there, John chapter 19, and I want to look at verse number 30 again. The Gospel of John in chapter number 19 and verse 30. "And when Jesus therefore had received vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Now in connection with that, I want you to go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 15 and verse 37. In Mark 15 and 37. And I call your attention to just a statement. It's not written in red in my Bible, nor is it written in red in yours. But it says this, "When he filled that sponge with vinegar," it says in verse 36, "and they said, let him alone, let's see if Elias will come and take him down." Verse 37, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." Now that is in connection with John 19 and verse 30. And that is where it says, "And when he'd received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head." I want you to bow with me for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be obedient to you this morning. Our Father, this is such a, Lord, an awesome passage of Scripture, as is all the Word of God. But our Father, it's so sacred even to read the words of our Lord Jesus on the cross, to think about the agony that he was going through. And our Father, to hear these words, who now, almost over 2,000 years later, are still real to us, and we still are blessed through the preservation and the, Lord, inspiration of the Scriptures to read what you shared on that cross. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God to help me now. God, speak to my heart, to the heart of these dear friends, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All of these seven sayings are extremely important. You remember, I don't know all the order, but if you read it carefully, you can come pretty close to the order of the statements. It would seem that after they have scourged him and mocked him, drove nails in his hands and nailed his feet, lifted him toward heaven, I believe perhaps the first statement of the cross was this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a Savior, dying that he might purchase their redemption, not just of his friends, not just of his mother, his disciples, those that he touched and healed, but of those who now have driven nails in his hands, those who spit in his face, those who have pulled out his beard, those who have beat him with a cat of nine tails, those who have done all those things to him, he is pleading for their salvation. "Father, forgive them." What an awesome Savior. Others. Then the second statement, no but doubt, is what he said in regard to his mother. "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother," and to the John, "behold thy mother." And my dear friend, he died with a compassionate heart for his mother. I remember Jack Howes used to quote all the time the poem, "Others." The Lord Jesus Christ lived for others. He died for others. And that on the cross even, he was concerned about others, concerned about all those who had mistreated him, concerned about his mom, wanted to make sure she was taken care of. He had all of that compassion in his heart. And I want you to know he cares for you. In the darkest hour of your life, as it was in the darkest of hours of his life, he cared for you. He cares for you, whatever you're going through. He loves you and he cares for you. And he has great compassion on you. Lord Jesus Christ in that hour said to John, "You take her." And the Word of God says that he took his mother and from that very hour became his. But I want to look at this morning, not just all of those combined, but I want to look today. I didn't mention about the thief. The thief on the cross said, "Remember when you come to your kingdom." And the Lord said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Others. He's concerned about those that were crucifying him. He's concerned about his mom. He was concerned about that thief on the cross. And he died saving others. He saved that man on the cross that day. "Today thou be with me in paradise." And what a blessing. What a wonderful truth. But I don't want to make the Scripture say something it doesn't say. But as I'm thinking this morning about the cries from the cross, I noticed something as I've been reading all these passages once again. And I want you to look back in Matthew 27 and note a word in this passage of Scripture. Matthew 27, look at verse 46 once again. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I want you to look in this passage of Scripture at the 7th word in that verse. He cried. He cried. If you will go, we won't do it now, but we will in a little bit. But if you'll go to Luke 23 and verse 46, you'll find that he cried once again. And he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And then if you will take in John chapter 19 and verse 30 and compare it to Mark 15 and verse 37, you'll find that he cried once again. Three different times the word is used, not that he spoke or he said, but that he cried. And I'm interested this morning in that. I am convinced that the Holy Ghost God wrote the Bible and that every word came from him. And the words in our King James Bible, I believe, have been divinely preserved, and I believe that they have real pungent meaning for us. He cried. On several occasions, it says he spoke or he said. He said to the thief on the cross, Today thou be with me in paradise. He said to his mother, Behold thy son, and to John, Behold thy mother. He said that. He said that. He prayed and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But on three occasions, the Holy Ghost of God chose to use this phrase, He cried. Three different times. Three in the Bible is the number of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's the number of God. And if you'll look carefully at those three words, cry, not to exclude when he's saying, Father, forgive them, but on those three occasions, he's speaking to God the Father. And he's crying to him out of his own spirit and out of the Holy Spirit. What does he say first? He said, in our English language, my God, he cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I found something interesting when I began to look, and I'm certainly not a Greek scholar nor a Hebrew scholar at all, but I'm glad I have some concordances. And I found out that there are three different distinct words for those three words when he cried out of the cross. Number one is in the book of Matthew when he said, My God, he cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is a cry of horror. It is a cry of someone who has just experienced or is experiencing the most severe horror and terror they could ever experience. He was nailed to a cross, but he did not cry. As a lamb before the shearers, so he opened not his mouth. When they beat him on that, when they tied his hands above his head and beat him with that cat of nine tails, he did not cry. He did not cry out. He opened not his mouth. When they plucked out his beard, when they put a crown of thorns on his breast, he did not cry. The word's not used. It's used one time in all the narrative of the crucifixion. And it's this. The most horrible thing he could ever imagine was to be separated from the Father. He cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Why? I said, no, I can't explain it to you. I can't explain how God could separate himself from God. But he was clothed in human flesh. And when a person dies, they're eternally separated from God. You're in this building, you're in the radio audience, and you're in the internet audience, and you don't know Christ, but you're not separated from him. The Bible said, in him we live and move and have our being. He controls the tides. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. And where you have, he makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And where you have not experienced saving grace, you have experienced his grace over and over and over again. Where, my dear friend, you have not basked in his love and received the love gift of his dear son, you experience his love and mercy in your life. It is the mercies of God that you're not in hell today if you're not saved. He's extended your days. But there comes a time when you die, you're separated from God. And God is love. And in hell, there's no experience in love. the people who don't know Christ know love. They know the love of a child, the love of a grandchild. They know the love of a wife, the love of a sweetheart. They know the love of a friend. They experience some love. They feel that emotion of love. But my dear friend, what happened on that cross was God pulled his love away from his dear son. And he experienced what people in hell will experience. The absence of God, and God is love, and he could feel no compassion of the Father. My dear friend in hell, right now God is giving mercy, God's extending his grace, and God's love is hovering over you and protecting you. My dear friend, when you die lost, you're in hell, you're separated from God, and God is love, and God is light. When did he cry that cry? In the ninth hour. For 3 hours he'd hung in darkness. I'm talking about total darkness. I'm talking about dark. We had a friend who was a prisoner in Vietnam, and they put him in a place, and he said it was like a little box, total darkness. In his training in military and special forces, he'd been put in isolation. He'd put in places where it's so black and dark. And he said, of all the experiences he's had in training in special forces, to be shut up in darkness. He said, he'd known the guys, they put him in that darkness, and it was so dark it would hang on your body. And when he was in there, and he said, they would begin to cry and said, I can't stand it anymore. And they felt like they'd been in there for hours, and they'd been in there for 5 minutes. He's light. And when you're separated from God, there is no light. Hell is a place of darkness that you can feel. It hangs all over you. And what he did on that cross, he experienced your darkness in hell. He's light and he's love, my dear friend. The Lord Jesus Christ on that cross experienced all of our agony, all of our suffering, all that God had given us. The Bible says, my dear friend, David said, as he, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. But in Christ on that cross, he withdrew his presence from the sun. And the most horrible cry rang out through that countryside in total darkness. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because to face death without the presence of God is the most horrible thing you could ever imagine. We don't see it in our day because they begin to give people medications, morphine and everything else before their death. But Brother Avery Rogers, who I refer to quite often, was saved many years ago. He went home to be the Lord at the age of 83, and that was in 1982. But he lived out in Texas and ministered in Texas. And out in those plain areas where he was at, he said there was not much medication. And he said he would go to homes of saints who died with no morphine, wouldn't know anything to aid them in pain. And he said there was always a sweet peace and comfort. But he said in those days, the most horrible thing that he had experienced was being called to the home of lost people and watch them die. When there were no medications to dull their senses and they die. He said, I've heard them scream and scream until they could scream no more. He said, I've heard them say, save me, my feet are on fire. Help me, my feet are on fire. Not like Brother Farrell, not looking into heaven and smiling, precious in the eyes of the death of the saint. But they died, experienced the torment of hell before they ever left their body. And on that cross, when he cried in great horror, he was experiencing your hell on that cross. While David said, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, God withdrew himself in the dying hours of his son. The greatest horror he knew, the greatest pain he experienced, was separation from the Father. He's light and he's love, and he's with us in that hour of death. My dear friend, what an awful thing. Oh, listen, it is a cry of distress, of horror. He cried from the cross. But there's a second cry from the cross, and it's given to us in the book of John, and also the reference is made in other ones, but in 15, in verse 37, it's this cry, it is finished. it is finished. He cried, it is finished. In the drama, Charles cries out, it is finished. And that cry is another word entirely. It is the cry of a victor. It is the cry of triumph. I've watched some of the NCAA. And when that last shot is made and the buzzer goes off, somebody wins and somebody loses. And there's such a stark contrast. I watched last night as I say grown men, and they are grown men. I mean, if you're 7 foot tall, I don't care if you're 18, you're still a grown man. I hope you're grown if you're 7 foot tall. But I saw great big men pull their jersey up or their shirt up around their face and weep like babies because they'd lost. And I saw others jumping with jubilance. I mean, just shouting, crying out. Some were weeping over here. Some were shouting over here. And the second cry, the word cry in the Bible, is not the cry of horror. It is the cry of a victor. It is a cry, it is finished. Doesn't mean it's over with. It means it is completed, thank God. I have fulfilled every demand of the law. I have satisfied all the holy demands of God. I have paid the debt on every sin of every sinner who ever lived. From eternity past to eternity future, they have salvation purchased for them. It is a finished thing. I have completed the task. It's finished, thank God. It's glory. Glory, glory. Hey, y'all not getting it, Brother Brad said, y'all not getting it. It's a different word altogether. A cry of horror, but a cry of the victor. It is finished. Thank the Lord for that. I'm not sure about the switch sequence, but it would appear to me that the third cry, the third time the word cry is used, is in this context. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But he cried it out. He cried it out. And I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. That particular word is different than the other two. One, the cry of horror. One, the cry of the victor. This is a cry of release or letting go. It is the cry of release or letting go. It is one of great relief and great jubilance and great joy. Not the finished task, but the entrance to the Father. My dear friend, he said, in thy hands I commend my spirit. My dear friend, listen, when you die as a saint of God, you go into the very presence of God. We know the Word of God said that Lord Jesus Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth into hell. But in that moment, he cried and he said this, Father. Now watch this. He says in horror, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But after he cries, it's finished. After he's paid the sin debt, it's all satisfied. There is a sweet communion that takes place on that cross. He's not talking to somebody away off. He's talking to somebody who's there embracing his dear son on that cross. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, Lord, thank God. Listen, I hope that you'll be able to do that one of these days, to know that you're saved and heaven's your home. And in that moment, you'll be able to say, Father, I'm a coming home. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done for me. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. What a total cry of release. It means to set free or to release or to send away. It is a cry of release. Jesus made this statement in the gospel, in the book of John once again. He makes this statement. And it pictures for us exactly what happened on that cross. He said in another passage of Scripture, no man takes my life from me. And listen to what he said. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. What happened on that cross in that particular moment? When he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit, and the Bible says, and he gave up the ghost. It means that he released, he turned loose, he sent it away. He had the power to die when he wanted to die. He had the power to leave that body on the cross at any moment. You and I don't have that prerogative. We don't have that. He's in charge of life and death. But he released his spirit. He laid his life down, and he had power to take it again. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. There are three cries from the cross, seven sayings, but three cries. One, a cry of great horror. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's the cry of a victor. Thank God, it's finished. It's not, doesn't mean it's over with. It means it's completed. It's completed. And then is the cry, my dear friend, of release and relief. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I want to tell you, you might not feel him all the time here, but if you know him as your Savior, you'll know him the most intimate way you've ever known him in this world when you get ready to leave out of this world and give up the ghost, as it were. If you know the Lord, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but if you do not know him, what a horrible thing you'll face. While your senses may be numbed and your outward expressions may not be visible to those or your family, we're told in every situation that even though our loved ones may be in a coma or may not be able to respond to us, they know what's going on. They can sense and hear and think. They know what's going on. They can't give expression because of the morphine, but they know. That's a wonderful comfort to my heart. But if you're lost and they give you morphine and you cannot scream aloud, you'll be screaming on the inside. You'll know the horror of leaving a world lost and plunging into hell for all eternity. And it doesn't have to be that way. Whosoever will may come. The cry, "It is finished," gives validation to his invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you come? Will you come to him today if you don't know him in the radio audience, internet audience? Will you trust him today? What a wonderful thing. I pray that when the Holy Ghost of God lets you read through these passages of scriptures, God will make it real to you, these last words of Jesus. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? The cries from the cross. There's a cry of horror of all the suffering of our Lord on the cross. The most horrible was to be separated from the Father. And then there's the cry of the victor. It is finished. It is completed. It is accomplished. And then there's that cry of release and relief. Paul kind of voiced that before he died. He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of rejoicing, not for me, but for all those who love his appearing." Chris, in preaching about Brother Farrell yesterday, said he fought and he fought and he fought. Brother Wayne Hargrove got to see him just a couple of weeks before he died. And of course, he had to be in a wheelchair at that time. He was not bedfast. And he said, "Wayne, I'm going to go preach." He said, "Farrell, you can't go preach. How are you going to go preach?" He said, "I'm going to get somebody to push me in this wheelchair. I'm going to keep on for Jesus as long as I can." Just keep on. I'm going to keep on as long as I can. I'm going to keep on as long as I can. My dear friend, there come a day that you can't go anymore. Brother Farrell came to that point. When they sent him from the hospital, just on Friday before he died on Tuesday, he told his family, "I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go meet Jesus. I'm ready to leave. If it's his will and I'm not going to get to go preach anymore, I'm ready to go." I ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Thank God for what Christ did for you on the cross. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for good men some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All that I've shared with you today and a million times more of what he experienced on that cross, he did it for you. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? If I were you and I did not know for sure I'd saved, I'd get around this old altar this morning. I'd take a step, come by faith and ask Jesus to forgive me and receive him as your Savior and Lord. He'll do that for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, no set pattern, no particular word phrases, but with a repentant heart, you turn to the Savior and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Save me right now. I accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord. You can do that. He'll save you, boys and girls, men and women. Maybe there's some who want to come kneel around the altar this morning. Just thank him once again. We're not going to give a long invitation, as I've said over in the last few weeks. But I want you to come right now. Right now. Brother Brad's going to sing in just a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that God, Holy Ghost, to move on God's people. And now, Father, throughout this week, Lord Jesus, over and over again in my mind and heart, those three phrases that you cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, it's hard for me to imagine being with the Father before the foundation of the world, being the creator of all things, being there to hear him say that it's good, it's good, it's good. Lord, in your earthly days, when God the Father spoke to you and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then just because you loved us, just because you love men and women, boys and girls, and everybody in the sound of my voice, knowing what it would cost you, you went to the cross and were willing to be separated from the Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that cry of the victor. Lord, it's finished. It's completed. I'm glad, Lord, I don't have to save myself. Don't have to keep myself saved. I'm glad you paid my sin debt, and it's accomplished. It's finished. And Father, I'm sure glad you made it where the Holy Ghost of God came in our heart. And there'll be a time that our Father will come to the crossing of the river, and we can say, Father, in thy hands we commend our spirit. God, we just trust you. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to make these truths real.